All right. Well, again, welcome to Antioch Community Church. My name is Travis Phillips. And I'm the lead pastor here. And tonight we are hopping into a new series that we're going to be in for much of the summer, and excited about what God wants to speak to us through this through these series of messages from His Word. God's Word is the foundation of what our church is built upon, and we center our lives around what He speaks to us through His Word. We hold it as His authority and the message of life for us today. And so this summer, one of the things that I really feel like God has a desire to do in our church body is to just wash us in His Word, that we would just be able to sit back and receive from Him. And over the course of the last year now, we have been we've been focusing on several things. We feel like God took us through a season on faith and building our faith. That was last summer. Then the fall, we went through the book of Acts, which is a very apostolic, go get them kind of book, and all that God was doing in the day of establishing the church and how He's wanting to establish our church. And so we went through that book in the fall, and then in the spring, this past spring, we're just coming out of a long series on discipleship, where the rally cry was everyone a disciple and everyone discipling. And so it has been a let's go, God's doing things kind of time. And though God is continuing to do things, I really feel like this summer is a time for us to really just soak in who God is, soak up His Word, and to really be refreshed. And the picture, a picture oftentimes in these kind of things, God just gives me a picture, a mental picture to go back to that really speaks to me about what He's wanting to do. And as I was praying through this series, and really felt like we might do a go through a book of the Bible, one of the short letters in the New Testament. And so over the past few weeks, I've been reading through and studying several of those. And the picture throughout that was kind of a common theme was this picture of a heart with barbed wire around it. And so that's in my mind, was not a super pleasant picture. And what went along with that was also a picture of a heart being washed clean. And I really felt like God wanted to take things that have really been like barbed wire to our hearts, that have caused pain, that have restricted freedom, that those things would be taken off, and that we would instead be washed, that our hearts would be washed clean by Him. And so it would be that kind of receiving time in God. And that is God's heart. That is God's heart, to set your heart free. And we're going to talk a little bit about the heart tonight specifically. All the passages do not have to do with the heart, but it has to do in terms of specifically talking about the heart, but it all relates to our heart. And so I want to kind of give some parameters of what are we talking about when we talk about the heart, our heart. It's been, we know what the heart is physically speaking, the muscle or the organ that pumps blood throughout our body and puts oxygen into the blood. And I wouldn't even be able to get it all right if I tried, but the simple fact is that it pumps blood to the and gives life to our body. And so we have to have the heart. The heart over the years has become the seat of emotion, the seat of will, of desire. The humans have referred to the heart as those things. Now, what did your heart beat for? You know, how does your heart feel? What is the emotion? What are the emotions of your heart? And so we want to get this thing that is anything that has restricted us, anything that has caused pain, anything that we've tried to get free of and haven't been able to, as depicted in the barbed wire, we want to allow God to come in and just set us free. When you get trapped in something like barbed wire, your first instinct is to try to get free of it. It's causing you pain, and you try to wrestle it through. I was watching a movie fairly recently, don't highly recommend it, but it's called War Horse, and it was about this horse that, I mean, if you're a horse lover, maybe you would appreciate it more than I did. I don't dislike horses. It just dragged on a little bit. In one scene in this movie, this horse is going across a battlefield where they've put up barbed wire all along this field, and the horse is trying to cross this field, and it just keeps hitting these kind of fences of barbed wire and breaking through them, but eventually it can't anymore, and you see it just struggling and trying to get free of the barbed wire, but it only becomes more entangled. And more entangled. The more it tried to wrestle free on its own, it just became more and more intertwined in this barbed wire until it was noticed. And these two guys go out and set it free by clipping the wires off and getting it free. And that is the picture for us, is that there are things in our life that have kind of wrapped around our hearts, at times suffocating the life, causing pain. Have been a distraction, have something that we've tried to get free of, and the more we try to get free of it, sometimes it feels like the more we get intertwined in it. And there are things like that come up in life. And God wants to come and set us free. And beyond setting us free, he wants to come into those wounded places and wash every place clean so that your heart can beat freely, so that it can live, and so it can beat for the things that it was meant to. And so I was going through these different books of the Bible, and actually I feel like God, as I was trying to really determine which book he wanted us to go through, it turns out that I really feel like he's wanting to get different perspectives on issues of the heart. And so we're going to take these four different books that I've been reading through and studying, and take different passages from different ones of these books. And as I kind of started leaning that direction, it was interesting because I realized that each of the four books was from four different men. It's the book of 1 John, written by John. 1 Peter, written by Peter, yes. James, written by James. And then Colossians, which is written by Paul. And so some of these verses will be hitting similar themes, but we're going to get kind of a different voice, a different perspective from these men of God. And I believe that God is really going to speak some significant things to us through it. But before we hop in into 1 John tonight, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. I'm going to read this through a few times. I'm going to read it through in a few different versions because they bring out a different nuance. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from your heart. So again, we're talking about the seat of life, the seat of our will, our desire, our emotions, of why we do what we do. And we know that a lot of that function actually comes from the brain. But there's something of the heart that in some ways is deeper, that gets to this deeper place of soul and emotion and desire that's referred to as the heart. And so Solomon here is speaking to this place of the heart and is saying, above everything else, you must guard it, because who you are and everything that you do flows from this place. I want to read it in a couple of other versions. The next one being the NASB, New American Standard Version. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So guard your heart. Watch over your heart with all diligence. So there is almost like a warning here. It's like a flashing light. Like, this is something that we need to listen to, that we need to watch over our hearts with all diligence. Next is the English Standard Version, which gets a little bit of another nuance. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So now this translation uses the word keep. Keep your heart. Keep it. Know whose it is. Know what it's doing. And do it with all vigilance, meaning watch, keep your eyes open. Don't let something come in and steal your heart, steal your affections, steal your desires away from the Lord, from the one who loves you and who created you. And then the last one I'm going to read is from the New Living Translation. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And so one thing that I believe that the heart is the wellspring of life. It is within your heart abides the course of your life, or everything that you do flows from your heart. And so as a believer in Jesus, one of the things that, one of the phrases that is often used is that I give my heart to him. Or I've invited Jesus to come in and live in my heart, to take over my heart. And those phrases come from these types of thoughts on the heart. That I want to give my heart, all of who I am, the wellspring of my life, to him. I want to entrust it to him. And so now our heart, then, in a sense, is where Jesus abides, okay? Not literally in that muscle, but as we're talking figuratively in the heart, it's we've given it to the lordship of Jesus. We've said that Jesus, you are Lord. I want you to take my heart, my wellspring of life. I give it to you. And so it is that we now must guard that place. We must guard that fire, that fire that burns in our heart for Jesus. Now you have to guard it, because there are so many things that want to fight for your affection, that vie for your desires. So many things of this world, some that are absolutely evil, some that are good, but that would distract, or that would water down the fire of your heart that we long to beat for Jesus. And so that's why we guard it. That's why we keep it. That's why we watch over it with all diligence and vigilance, because we want the fire of our hearts to burn for him. Because we can all acknowledge that there are things that come to blow out that fire, to throw water on it, to make us not put fuel on it anymore, because our eyes and our attention, our focus, and our other places. And so this summer, we are inviting God through his word and through these different books that we're going to be looking at. We're inviting God to come to set our hearts free, to fix our eyes on him, that we might guard our heart, that we might be washed clean, so that we can keep our eyes fixed on him, because that's where our heart is, because our heart is in him. I got to talk to a couple of the guys on the trip today, and just was asking them about the testimonies, what God was doing, and one that I felt like really applied for tonight was one that Andy shared with me. And he had gotten to talk with a guy one night. They were down on a boardwalk and just worshiping the Lord, and so they were worshiping God. They did it for about an hour. They would just stand around and sing and worship, play guitar. People would kind of walk up wondering what was going on, and so they'd take a break and they'd go talk to him. And they'd talk to those people, they'd come back and they'd just start worshiping again, and people would kind of gather around and they'd go talk to him. And one of the guys that he got to talk to was really interested in religion. Was wanting to talk about all these things. He kept saying, "I've got new ideas, and that are kind of outside the box," and was kind of wanting to get into some debating and what are these new ideas. And Andy was like, "You know, if that's what you're interested in, I don't know if I'm that interested in talking to you in terms of like just setting up a conversation and having all these talks about these things." He said, "But if you're interested," because the guy had already asked for a Bible, and he said, "But if you're interested about talking about what's in this book, I'd love to talk with you." And that's one of the things. There's a lot of people that are hungry, and so you're not necessarily looking for those who have these new ideas and want to talk and debate about this and that. You're looking for those who are saying, "Yes, this is what I want. This is what I need," because there are many people like that. And so this guy's like, "Okay, well, let's talk about what's in the book." And so Andy's like, "Okay, well, when can we meet up?" And he's like, "Well, do you have time right now?" And he's like, "Well, sure." And so Andy felt impressed to open the Bible and have this guy read the story of the prodigal son. And so he began to read this story in this Arabic Bible. And as he read it, Andy saw that his that his eyes began to fill with tears. And so as he finished reading, Andy just began sharing with him about the story and what it meant. And this guy began to cry more and more. And he asked him, you know, why are you crying? What's wrong? He's like, this is my life. This is my story. That guy is me. And Andy asked him, well, what have you done? He's like, I can't tell you what I've done. I can't tell you. It's too bad. It's too much. And so Andy just got to minister to the love of God, and he began to cry more and more. But Andy described the heart of a father who loves him and who longs for a relationship with him, and that he can be forgiven, that he is accepted by this God. And this guy, and I've had experiences like this with people, he actually got so emotionally overwhelmed and there was a bunch of guys there, and he was sobbing. And he said, I can't talk anymore. I've got to go. And so Andy left him with the Bible and said, well, know that God loves you, and this book will lead you to truth. And it's a cool testimony, because it was simply the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Andy was absolutely a willing vessel and was hearing God, but it was the Word of God that was just opened up and said, well, why don't you read this? And he read it, and the Holy Spirit just began to touch him, to identify that this is your story. And you have felt like there was no one that would ever accept you again, that you would be rejected, that you would live in guilt, that you would live apart from peace for the rest of your life. But I am God, and I love you, and I am a father that forgives you. And so this summer is going to be just that. We're just going to simply just get into God's word, which is what we normally do, but I just felt like God's saying more than ever before, we're just going to open his word, and the Holy Spirit is going to come and just bring life. He's going to set us free from things that have put us in bondage, and is going to clean us up from places where we feel like we've just made a mess of things. And so let's read one more verse here before hopping in to 1 John. I want to read Luke 6:45. Luke 6:45. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so again, we want to go to this place of the heart and know that what we're putting in our heart, the way that we're guarding our heart, that we're really seeing what's coming in. What am I allowing to come in and influence my heart? That when we're storing up good things, when we're tending the fire of God in our heart, when we're saying no to that which is evil, there's good things that are going to come forth from our life. When we're not doing that, the natural direction will be that the evil will come in and flow from our lives. And so let us be diligent to guard our hearts, to watch over it vigilantly, so that what comes out of our mouths, that what the actions of our lives are, is good, and is for the glory of God. Let's turn to 1 John. We're going to be quick here tonight in 1 John, but I want to read 1 John beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And I wanted to start with this passage because this is the heart of these four guys, of these letters that were written that we're going to get into a little bit this summer. This is the heart behind them, that what they have heard, that what they've seen with their own eyes, what they've looked at, what their hands have touched, That's what they're going to proclaim. That's their desire, is that who they have found Jesus to be in their interactions with him, in their understanding of who he is and how he's revealed himself as Messiah, as Lord and Savior, that is their desire to now proclaim that to you and to me. That they would proclaim, this is who he is. And we always start there because we will never have the amount of desire, the amount of vigilance or the amount of diligence that it takes to guard our hearts if we don't know why we're guarding it, if we don't know who we're guarding it for. And so we always have to have a fresh revelation of who God is and how good he is and how worthy he is to have that place in your heart so that it fires you up to then guard it with all diligence and vigilance. And so we're going to see who is this God, this one that they are proclaiming, and he is the word of life. That's the first thing they say. He is the word of life. He is life. He is life. And so it's appropriate that we invite him into the heart, that we want him to stay there because the heart is the place of life for us. It is the symbol of life. It is the heart. Is the beating heart. And so they say that our desire is to proclaim to you the eternal life which is in the Father that has appeared to us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And they say this interesting thing, we write this to make our joy complete. We write this to make our joy complete. And I love this thought because if we just soak up all the time, and we keep things to ourselves, even in something good like receiving from God's word, it ultimately gets a little stagnant. It ultimately brings us to a point of death. Even when you think about the heart is continually circulating blood. It's continually circulating it. It is receiving it, and then it is giving it away. It's receiving it, and it's giving it away. Receiving it and giving it away. And so these guys have found that though they have received life in Jesus, that their joy is made complete in giving it away, in the proclamation of the message, in the proclamation of how their life has been changed. And so one of the functions of our heart is not only to be set free and to be clean, but that we would start working properly, that we would continually be receiving from God and at the same time continually be letting the life of God flow through us to those around us. And so that is the desire, I believe, of these letters that we're going to be rereading. And so we want to receive that there is revelation of Jesus coming our way from these men who walked with Jesus. There's revelation coming our way, and our joy will be made complete as that life and that revelation from God flows through us to those around us. And so let that be our joy, the joy of receiving and the joy of giving. And so they go on. I want to finish here with verses 5-9. He goes on and says, "This is the message we have heard and from him and declare to you." So this is what it is. That God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So he tries to boil it down here. This is the message we have heard. This is the message that's been given to us, and now we want to declare it to you. And he starts with the simple fact that God is light and that in him there is no darkness. God is light and in him there is no darkness. That's something we're going to need to remember throughout the course of this summer. That God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And I hate to throw too many analogies and all these things onto the heart, but this is another good one. That our heart is prone to darkness. There's things that we want to do. There's affections that want to be done in the darkness that we know aren't good, that have not led to life, that have not led to peace, and yet we still have a tendency to do those things. And when we invite God in, we're inviting him, and when we are inviting him in, we are saying, because he is light, God, illuminate the places of my heart. Any place that has been prone to darkness, that has been given to darkness, that has been hidden, I'm inviting you to come and be the light that you are. And so what you're inviting him in is to come and expose every dark place. Because where he is, there is no darkness. In fact, John here is pretty blunt in saying, if we walk in the light, right before that, it says, if we claim to have fellowship with God, walk with Jesus, yet walk in darkness, we're lying. We're lying. Because when we're walking with God, there is light. And where there, the thing that dispels darkness is light. And so we're going to have the opportunity to allow God to evaluate whether or not we are walking with him. We have fellowship with him, friendship with him, relationship with him. By allowing him to come in and say, God, illuminate every place that has been prone to darkness. I invite you in to be the God of light. Because this is the message that they've heard and that they declare. He could have said anything, but he said, God is light. And in him, there is no darkness. And so when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God. It is a good place. It is a life-giving place. And I think what you'll find, and when you think about times when you've chosen darkness, when you've chosen things that you knew weren't quite right, but you were just tired, or you just had enough, and you gave in, or you chose poorly, or whatever happened, I believe that you would sit there and say that in the end, it just didn't bring me life. When it was all said and done, I felt guilty. I felt shame. I felt remorse. All of these things that were not what I was looking for when I set out into this place of darkness. But the enemy twists things. And he wants us to believe that this is the place we're going to find life. It's the place we're going to find joy. But the places of darkness never lead us into those things. But when we have fellowship with Jesus, his son purifies us from all sin. So when we have fellowship with God and with one another, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. In fact, he says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That is a beautiful promise from God. That our sin that we all have, that he comes and he meets us where we are. In the place of sin, even in the places of choosing darkness, he comes in. When we'll confess to him, when we ask him to come, we say we don't want that anymore, he comes and he purifies. He purifies and he cleanses. And so that's a lot of what this summer is going to be about, is walking in purity, in holiness, in righteousness. In knowing that those are the things and following God in those ways are what brings life. And so we're just going to allow him to wash over us, for his spirit to come and to lead us. And I really believe there's going to be some things that are overcome in this place. Things that have long plagued your life. Cycles of sin or patterns of darkness that have long plagued your life that God just wants to come in and cleanse you from. As we confess to him, as we plead for him to come and bring his light, he wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father God, we offer up our hearts to you. Here at the beginning of this series of messages, we offer up our hearts. Lord, we don't want to struggle anymore on our own. We recognize, and we just recognize the pain. We recognize at times our tendency towards choosing things that are destructive. And we just say, help, God. Hear our hearts. Won't you come and take our heart? Set us free. Wash us through your word, through your spirit. God, and if there's anything that is making it difficult tonight for us to give you our heart, if there's anything that is placing a barrier in our minds or even in our desire to give our heart to you, Lord, I'm just asking that you would identify that, that you would take that barrier down. No matter how long it's been there, no matter how comfortable we've come with it, Lord, I pray that the truth of who you are, the truth of your word, would break down every barrier that would keep us from coming to a place of trust and laying our heart out before you. It's a vulnerable place. It's a vulnerable place to say, God, come and take my heart, my wellspring of life, all of who I am, my desires, my emotions, my will, I give it to you. But there's a grace tonight. And I just have this picture of us across the room just kneeling before God, just extending to him our heart. Kneeling before him, but lifting our hands to him, offering ourselves to him, offering him our heart. God, we don't want to fight anymore. We just want to receive from you. We want to have life flowing into us and flowing out of us like we were meant to. The life of your son, Jesus. So we welcome you here in this place to have your way. It's in your name we pray, amen. So let's stand together. And before leaving this place tonight, let's just respond to God. Specifically with that thought of offering our hearts up to him. And for every one of you in this room, that'll look a little different. There'll be specific things that you're thinking of when you're offering your heart up to him. There'll be those places of darkness that you've chosen, and you're saying, God, even though I've got this places of darkness that I've not overcome, I'm willingly placing them in the light. I'm being vulnerable. And so that's what we want to do tonight. And it'll be the beginning of a process that God wants to take you through over the course of the summer, maybe longer than that. Of setting you free and bringing you cleansing and wholeness. So let's just respond to God. Of course, the front is open. You're welcome to come forward if you'd like to receive prayer. But let's respond to God before leaving this place.